What is up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Mind Crank Podcast. My name is Connor Bryant. I've got my co-host, Matt Swell Brown, and we're here to talk about some new Shadows over Innistrad cards, Max.
I'm very hyped up.
You're hyped?
Hyped up.
Yeah, dude. So we are very sorry to our listeners. We've been kind of slacking a little bit. Max and I had the Eldrazi winter blues, I think. We weren't very excited about the modern format. Standard kind of got a little stale. We kind of played a ramp deck we really didn't like. It was kind of a
lot of rallying of ancestors.
Yeah, many rallies.
Yeah, it was a sad time, basically, for everyone.
Yeah, it was just kind of like a crappy time to play Constructed Magic.
Boring time.
But guess what?
Yeah.
New cards are here.
Yeah.
Sprint is in the air, baby. I can smell it.
Can we just start talking about it?
Let's go.
Let's go now.
Yes.
Go, booked.
So, most of the set is out as we're looking at it. At least most of the rares and mythics, there'll be a lot of commons and stuff like that.
But yeah.
Most of them won't ever see the light of light of day and constructed.
Yeah, this is probably 90% of the constructed cards.
Yeah, for sure, which that's why you're here.
Yeah.
Constructed's gas.
That's why we're pit casting.
All right.
Let's just go.
We got the Murder's Row of Mythic right in front of us.
All right.
Who do we want to start with? Soren?
Soren Grim Nemesis. Let's go.
Looks like he's off the cover of a metal album. His face is like the zombie, like fake makeup.
Yeah,
look.
He looks like a screenshot from Metalocalypse.
Yes, he definitely does. All right, so Soren Grim Nemesis, 4 black white, planeswalker comes into play with 6 loyalty, +1. Reveal the top card of your library, and put the card into your hand. Each opponent loses life equal to the converted mana cost.
Boom, Draco, 16U.
Yeah, boom, got him. Minus X, Soren Grim Nemesis deals X damage to a creature or planeswalker, and you gain X life. And then -9, put a number of 1/1 black vampire knight creature tokens with lifelink onto the battlefield, equal to the highest life total among all players. This guy is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, obviously,
I like all the abilities are nice, but it's like my fear is like 6 mana is a lot of mana. Like his minus X is reminiscent.
Yeah, but he has a large effect on the game. I mean, his +1 is like, I think it's very, very powerful.
And 7 loyalty is a lot.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, he doesn't just die, like, he can kill most creatures and live.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he can also just kill their planeswalkers.
Yeah,
like,
and he can kill...
You're like, Soren, kill your Chandra. Like,
yeah,
that's
he's
pretty
almost
powerful.
Certainly going to come down with more loyalty than your opponent's planeswalker is going to have in almost every normal constructed situation.
Yeah, it's almost similar. What other planeswalker had ability like this? Oh, Chandra Nalar did. That card didn't have great results, but it wasn't like that was actually the mode that people played it for.
It was
minus X steel, killing Pain Slayer.
And it also only started with 5, right?
Yeah,
is that correct?
Oh, yeah, because it would suicide to kill a Pain Slayer.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think this card's reasonable. My fear though is that in the new standard, like, Chandra's just the cream of the crop at 6 mana by far.
Mm-hmm.
I think that card is like going to be much improved and kind of have its coming out party at the first couple standard tournaments we see.
Okay.
Like, I think you'll see that's with like 4 Chandras. Because like the card that Chandra reminds me of, and we talked about this actually when we saw Chandra the first time, we're like, oh, this is very like Elspeth-esque, right?
Yeah.
But the thing with Chandra is like Chandra very naturally dies. She's like often -4s or like pluses, and they have to kill her or else they're gonna die. Like, she's more disposable than Elspeth was.
Mm-hmm.
And repeat, like, if you're, like, Chandra plus, second Chandra plus, or whatever, like, that effect, or even, like, Chandra minus play my other Chandra plus, like, that effect is much better than, like, the only time Elspeth was ever good in when you had 2 Elspeths would be, like, if you -3 the Elspeth to kill all their creatures of 4 power,
right,
and then play the second one to start racing to the ultimate again.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that, like, There'll be more decks with 4 Chandras, possibly.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Chandra's super powerful. This card is weirdly, like, kind of a good answer to Chandra.
Yeah, it's reasonable.
But Chandra also is kind of an answer to it.
Yes.
In the sense that making the 3/1 haste creatures is a good way to attack Soren.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you plus your Soren, he does go to 7. So, like,
yeah,
if you're,
wins,
like, Soren
but...
plus, there's, like, Chandra plus, kill your Chandra, kill your eye. But, I mean...
I think Soren is going to have to minus on a lot of the turns he comes down.
I think so, too.
I feel like, you know, like, as usual with Planeswalkers, the Ultimates are ultimately, like... Ultimates are ultimately not worth talking about. They all pretty much do something absurd that will generally win you the game under most normal circumstances. So
and often
really
it's not even
the plus and the minus.
And often with the Planeswalkers, it's not even, like, the Ultimate that kills them. It's the fact that you plus your... Planeswalker and got that advantage every turn for the last, like, three turns.
Yeah, if you drew an extra card and domed your opponent for the converted mana cost of the card three times in a row,
you're probably going to win.
Yeah, you're going to win anyway, even without using the minus nine.
Yeah, I mean, this one's nice and convenient because it's, like, in a control deck, I have a hard time seeing games you lose making knights with the vampires, but...
Yeah.
I think that this card will be, like, a one or two of in standard, kind of like a role player, but I don't think it'll be anything too insane.
Cool card, though.
Yeah, I like next. It. I think... Good design. I feel like if it's a six-mana Planeswalker and it doesn't sweep the board...
Yeah, I mean, we could potentially talk about, like, combo kills with it.
Yeah, you could, like...
And it probably won't happen in standard. I don't think the tools are there.
I mean, you could, like, Conduit of Ruin for, like, an Ulamog and then plus your Sorin, I guess? I don't know.
That's, like... Yeah, it's, like, pretty far-fetched. That's dream scenario.
But, all right, the next flagship mythic I want to talk about, and one that I know Max and I are pretty excited about, is Archangel Avacyn. So I assume you guys have seen her, but just in case you haven't, 3WW for a flash flying vigilance 4/4. All right, so Sarah Angel.
Nice stats. Yep. With flash.
Yep, that body. When Archangel Avacyn enters the battlefield, creatures you control gain indestructible until end of turn, and then when a non-angel creature you control dies, transform Archangel Avacyn at the beginning of the next upkeep. And then when she flips over, she gets very angry. She turns red, and she becomes Avacyn the Purifier. She's a 6/5 with flying, and when this creature transforms into Avacyn the Purifier, it deals 3 damage to each other creature and each opponent. So there's so much going on with this card, right?
Yeah. So
and then, I talked to you the day it was spoiled, I was like, yo, this is a really strange card, right? Because they want you to have this board of like kind of small to medium combat-y creatures, mm-hmm. and you're like, all right, my guy's indestructible, win this combat. And then she flips and deals 3 to everything, right?
Yeah.
But then you're like, oh, this card just 9s people. It just flips, deals them 3, then 6s them.
Yeah.
That's so much damage.
Yeah, that's the thing is that I think, like, I thought at the beginning we were like, oh, this card's so weird, like, how are you supposed to exploit it? And my conclusion now about it is you don't need to exploit it. It's just absurd. Like, yeah. It just kills your opponent unbelievably quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also just, like, it's not, forget that it's a red card. It's not a red card. It's 100% a white card. So, like, you have to think of it in that light, right?
Yeah,
so you
for have sure.
to think of it in decks with Gideon, mm-hmm. which it actually pairs really well with, in the sense that when it flips, it doesn't kill your Gideon. It just kills everything else.
Right, and then you can be even, like, plus my Gideon.
Yeah.
And that's just so much damage.
That's just, like, that's a nice 14. A cool 14.
Yeah, I mean, that's... They only start at 20, right?
Like, yeah. That's, yeah.
That's a lot of damage.
The numbers on this card are just so high.
Yeah, and, like, the other thing, though, too, is, like...
It's really getting... I feel like if there's aggressive white decks with this card in them,
mm-hmm.
like, Wrath of Gods are just unplayable, right?
Yeah,
just... 5-mana Wrath of God going up against this.
Yeah, exactly. That's, like, my point is, like... But not only is it this card insane when it flips, so like, God, this card is a nightmare in combat. You're just like, my opponent just had 5 mana up, and I just could not attack.
Yeah.
I had 2 4/4s, and they had, like, a 3/3 or whatever. I just couldn't attack. Because if I did, they're going to flash an Archangel out and
eat one of
just,
my creatures.
Yeah, eat one of my creatures and just block the other one.
Block, yeah.
And just, like, bump off or whatever. It's just like, this card is such a nightmare in combat. And they're good in multiples, too, because you're like, they're like, kill your Avacyn. Or, like, let's say, like, they'll, like, kill your Avacyn or whatever. You're, like, flash him another one. Like, save it, right?
Yeah,
that's, like,
yeah.
not the worst. And then, also, they're, like, on the turn you flip your Avacyn.
Oh, you mean so kill your flipped Avacyn.
Or no, yeah, either or. Whatever. So, like, you can protect your other Avacyns. But also, it's, like, the turn you flip your Avacyn, you can, like, flash in the front side.
Yeah.
And then save the creatures that would die to the
3/3. They're 3 damage, rather. Yeah,
this card is one of those cards where it's, like, kind of like Resto Angel was, where it was like everyone trying to like reprocess how they played the games.
Mm-hmm.
This card is going to do that, and it's also going to be like we just had to approach deck building totally different. Like any 4-drop that can't attack into 5 open mana is like not very good now.
Yeah, you need to have your cards be functioning on a different axis than that. Also, like...
Well, the problem with that, though, is, like,
this card's
the way
just
standard...
also just really good against Planeswalkers, right?
Yeah, because they just flash down. It splashes down and just...
And it just kills your Planeswalker. Yeah, this card's just, like, crazy good, and it's weird how... I don't know. I can't imagine that this isn't, like...
A 4 of.
Yeah, like, just, like, you just put a lot of them in your deck all the time if you're playing white. I don't know. I'm definitely looking forward to playing with it. I'm probably just going to have to get a case now, because if I'm going to need 4 of these, well, all right.
Yeah, I mean that's, like...
I think everyone's aware how absurd this card... Like,
for
I,
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing, though, is... God, it's so...
Looks
it's
good so, is good.
Right, well, looks good, and then the thing, though, is, like, it looks good, is good, and then the more and more I think about it, it just seems better and better.
Yeah, it's like, certainly it's like has huge implications for
the Yeah, format. It's just, like, it's going to be, like, a looming... kind of thing, which is, like, kind of interesting, right? Like, they...
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, you know, if you're gonna have a card... Something's gotta be the best card in Standard. I'm not saying that this is, but I'm saying if it ends up being the best card in Standard, it's a pretty interesting one, right?
Yeah.
I think creatures with Flash in general lead to really fun gameplay.
Mm. Well, just you're like, well, he had up 5 mana, and but I didn't bite.
Yeah.
And now he just said he didn't cast... He didn't use his mana. So does he have Archangel Avacyn or no? Did he just, like, yeah. Sicko bluff me? And then you're like, Nestor, do I run it back? He was like, maybe he's just trying to get me. Like, that kind of, like, yeah, gameplay yeah. is really fun. It's going to be interesting. I'm excited to play with this card. I'm excited to build decks for this card. I'm not excited to play against it, but we'll see.
I bet you will play against it.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's go. Want to talk about
yeah.
Jace?
Jace Reignited.
Pretty much. Yeah, so Jace Unraveler of Secrets, 3 blue, comes in with 5 loyalty. He +1s to scry one, then draw a card. -2, bounce target creature to its owner's hand. And then this -8 is Union Emblem with whenever opponent casts his or her first spell each turn, counter that spell. So like Nullstone Gargoyle. Yeah, yeah.
Flipped Arayo is like what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Or Nullstone. Nullstone Gargoyle.
Nullstone Gargoyle does yeah. the same thing. All right,
yeah, it's fair. A Bulkrow from Ravnica. It's like a 9 mana creature okay. that does that. But right. So, Jace, not worth 9 mana, I don't think. So, this card is like. I feel like I've seen this card before. Isn't this just a blue Omnitzless?
Yeah, it's super similar.
It's so to weird, right? So, like, to compare it, it's like the +1's a little bit better because you scry one, then draw a card, you don't lose a life. Like, mm-hmm. That was a very real concern with Ob. Was like you're playing Esper Dragons. You're at like 4,
yeah,
and you're like I'll plus to draw one.
Significantly worse, than
right? But
kill,
like the
so.
Bounce is way worse than murder. I guess it's -2 loyalty instead of -3. But like the I don't understand why people like this card as much because so like this card is like a mid range card advantage powerhouse, right? And matchups in which like card
yeah,
advantage
but that doesn't like the
is
play super... doesn't the bounce doesn't like play
exactly
well with
that's
that.
My point.
Yeah, that's
so
I
that's why I like Omnitzless because it's like he actually kills stuff. Like yeah. I'm playing him because I want to draw extra cards and I want to card advantage my opponent out. This card bouncing stuff doesn't do that. Like that's more of a tempo thing.
Yeah,
and so I'm not interested in drawing. Like I'm not interested in the +1 then. Like it's just a disjointed card to me.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It feels like they. Clearly had to put Jace in this set, and they kind of
yeah,
didn't
he's...
have a good direction to go with it.
Well, I think they didn't want to make... Like, they're always afraid of making it a too powerful Jace, I guess. Like,
well, they should be.
Yeah, they've made it a couple.
they're
like,
more
Defiant
than...
Standard.
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing is, like, look, Jace is going to be around for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, he's
they're
like the,
not,
su-
they're
he's
not
like the Superman
all gonna
of
be,
magic.
Yeah, they're not all going to be... You know, Mind Sculptor, Vryn's Prodigy, or even
Architect. Well, even Architect.
Or Architect.
Good.
Yeah,
those cards are all very good. Like,
I mean, they'd make the real terrible like M15 one.
The Living Guild Pact. Yeah,
yeah,
it was real bad.
Yeah. So like, I mean, Jace's are a mixed bag, and this one probably comes up
a little short.
I don't think it's unplayable.
No, I don't think it's either.
I just don't. It's just nothing is drawing me to it.
Yeah, I'm not really interested. Not yeah. very attracted to it.
And also, blue is not really the natural home for a planeswalker that pluses to draw a card. I know that sounds weird.
Yeah, but you, like, if I
like,
blue
black wants that effect more than...
Right, because, like...
Because it
you
has
can,
more board
I
control
can, I didn't get it in blue. Like, I brought it in spades.
Yeah.
I need it in my other colors. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly.
My black-white deck really wants card advantage. Or, like, my black, whatever. Like, black-red deck. Like,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. My blue deck is, like... Yeah, I got cards. I can't kill stuff. Though.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I don't.
That's
need
why the
more
bounce
cards.
Feels weird to me. I'm just not a huge fan of this card. But We'll see.
Can we tell you about the Gitrog monster?
Yeah. Yes, we can. All right. The Gitrog monster.
The Gitrog monster.
Legendary creature frog horror. Wow. What a touch box.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. 3 green black for Sit's death touch. At the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice the Gitrog monster unless you sacrifice a land. You may play an additional land on each of your turns. Whenever one or more land cards are put into your graveyard from anywhere, draw a card.
Wow, that last line of text, though.
Yeah, draw a card. Anywhere, from anywhere.
From anywhere.
Wow.
Wow, including when you dredge Dakmor Salvage.
Yes.
To then put it back in your hand and discard a zombie infestation, triggering dredge again.
Yeah.
Or triggering draw again, and then dredging the same Dakmor Salvage and making your whole deck's worth of zombies.
Yes, you make half of your deck's worth of zombies.
Well, it's actually, you don't even...
Well, it's a fourth. It's a fourth, right?
It's actually weird because it actually makes more draws...
As you dredge.
As you start dredging, because every land you hit off of a dredge also triggers a draw card. So you have to, like, go slow and, like, pace yourself with the dredging. Otherwise, you'll... I mean, you basically can have your choice of cards.
You might get down to, like, 4 cards left in your deck. But, or like 5 cards or whatever.
Well, you can just stop
just start drawing
the deck. You can just stop
just draw the cards actually,
and then just start picking up cards like have access to huge chunks of cards
for sure.
This and card, then if you ever need more, you can just discard whatever you drew that was a land. You just discard that to cycle it.
Oh wow, that's pretty sick actually. Yeah. Okay.
So you can literally just get any card you want in your deck, pretty much.
Yeah. This card is like. First off, the art is insane. Giant, like, frog monster, and he just has an arm hand.
Can we take a closer look at this guy? You're gonna click on him?
Wow.
Yeah, he's just a dude hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah, he just ate a dude, and he just is still munching on him, and still has his arm hanging out of his mouth. It's pretty insane. But, like, not only does this card look sweet, it's also frog horror, so I love it. But, like, so this isn't, like, exactly a value card, I don't think. I mean, it's good with, like, fetch lands, but they're not going to be in standard. Except for Evolving Wilds, I guess, you can play, but, like...
Yeah.
But I do think that this card could be, like, a...
I mean, it is pretty good with Evolving Wilds. I'm interested in what this card ends up doing in standard.
Yeah.
Love it as a combo card,
though. Yeah, it's a Dread Return target, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can just, like, Dread Return it and then just... Or, like, Umbra writes it or whatever sad version we have in Modern.
Yeah.
You can do that and then just, like, mill your deck. And then, like... I assume once you mill your deck, you're doing something. Like, there's like a part B. But like, the fact that this card just does that is pretty sick. Like, I mean, does this like you deploy like an like all in deck that kind of does something similar in Legacy where you don't need Balustrade Spy, but you can do this guy. You know what I mean? Like, you can do like this guy opens up new doors, which is super exciting.
You just need like discard outlets and Dakmor Salvage, and you can pretty much
go off
with this card, and that's like, That's a nice place to be. Because it's just, like, there's so many versions and, like, combinations of cards that would allow you to...
Yeah.
Trigger your whole deck or some otherwise produce an insurmountable advantage. Some of them are only legal in Legacy. Some of them are legal in Modern. So, like, I think this card, we could probably do an episode on it just... I don't want to, like, get too deep on, like, how to combo with it or whatever.
Yeah, there's a million ways, and it's just, like, this card is just, like... You see this, and you're just like, what can I do to break this?
Yeah.
Like, how do I get this in play very quickly, and how can I draw my deck afterward? Because it just feels like that. You're like, wow, from anywhere, it just does... It just seems like a busted combo card. It's just like...
Yeah, maybe...
It's only as busted as its enablers.
Yeah, maybe the zombie infestation is totally in the wrong direction. Maybe that's like, the 2/2s are irrelevant if we can just draw our whole deck, basically.
Yeah, maybe we just like... I don't even know. Like, maybe we add noise. I don't know. Like, I have no idea what the thing is, but I know at some point someone's going to be like, yo, check out this deck on stream. He's tumbling off with a Gitrog monster. I'm like, yes. That's awesome. I can't wait.
All right.
Next card.
Are we going to talk about Behold the Beyond? I actually think this card might have a... So this is a card that I would have killed for in my... Before they printed Enter the Infinite, I would have killed for this card in my Omniscience deck.
For sure. So, Behold the Beyond. 5 black. Discard your hand. Search your library for 3 cards. And put those cards in your hand. Then shuffle your library. So, 5 black. discharge your hand, triple Damar Tutor.
Yeah.
That's pretty sick. I mean, this is like an omniscience card, I guess, but...
Yeah.
And the evidence just
better. Interesting, yeah. That's the tough part. But, I mean, there could be different types of decks.
Maybe like a
Storm... Not omniscience decks.
Maybe like a Storm-style deck? I don't think so, but maybe...
Yeah, I mean, it's a little reminiscent of Doomsday.
Yeah, the problem with this card is, like, you need a lot of... You need a Storm deck that has a lot of mana, but not a lot of win conditions. And there's not going to be, like, a Storm deck in standard.
And also, the discard your hand makes playing, like, is scary for decks that want to play, like, one-ofs of their win conditions.
Cause, yeah, like, you're like,
discard this, and then you can't tutor.
You know what, I have a Tendrils in my hand, or no, I can't do it. Yeah, that's right. But yeah, this is a cool light card, definitely EDH card.
Yeah,
but definitely something to remember. But
this might end up being like your like Descent into Madness type black crap mythic.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it also is like Tentacles, so I think we're gonna get an Emrakul. That's what I'm hoping. I just want to see Emrakul, dude. He's so cool.
Nahiri the Harbinger.
What is she harbinging? Who knows? Maybe it's Emrakul. All right. So 2 red-white for a 4 loyalty planeswalker. Planeswalker type Nahiri. +2, you may discard a card. If you do, draw a card.
It's a red loot.
Yeah.
But it's a +2, which is nice. So come down, go up to 6 right
away. That's a lot of loyalty.
Yeah, that's significant. 6 is a nice spot for it to come down.
Especially because her minus is pretty sick. Her minus is -2, exile target enchantment, tap creature, or tap artifact. So you can just like come down, kill the thing if it's tapped. You can also exile a Stasis Terror, which I think might be very important in this standard.
Mm-hmm. Or Silk Wrap.
Yeah, or whatever. Like any of those cards.
Also kills Reality Smasher without having to discard a card.
Yeah, and honestly, I think Stasis Terror will be popular because I think Reality Smasher is a lot better new standard.
Right.
Because the size of the creatures is all kind of shrunk down because we don't have the cons like Sea Trono and Offensa, like those guys just being huge for no reason.
Yeah. I think, you know, on that note, Deathmiss Raptor might be a lot better after rotation.
Yeah, I think so too.
That's one to look out for, I think, for the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. That card just might become really, really, really important in standard again.
I did see that being like a central pillar of the format. But also, Nahiri's -8. It's search a library for an artifact or creature card, put it on the battlefield. It gains haste, return to your hand at the beginning of the next end step. So, she actually ultimates pretty quickly. You just go ++ ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
That's like pretty quick for
a 4-mana planeswalker. But her ultimate is not game ending generally.
I mean, it might. I mean, not.
Depending on. You're certainly. This is not the type of. Okay, the deck that this goes into is not the type of deck that is just going to put like a 12, like an Ulamog in their deck just to ultimate Nahiri with.
Right, exactly. So you're going to like go get an Abyssin and like 4 of them, I guess. But you'll probably just use it to like.
Hand.
But you'll probably just use like Nahiri to like kill their stuff.
I almost feel just like. I don't know. Just
I guess like
more.
You're
just
like an EDHer is like Dublin season Nahiri, -8. Don't get Bloodsteel Colossus.
Yeah,
like, maybe that sort of thing.
Oh.
You just like kill. It. Oh, like in like modern, I guess you could do this too, but like doesn't seem as great. But yeah, Nahiri. I think Nahiri's good. I think she'll be. I don't think this card's a 4 of because, what's odd is like. The thing has to be tapped, so I guess it comes down and kills their 3-drop. I don't think this card will be a 4 of. Also, it's white, so you're gonna like whatever deck you're gonna play this in probably has 4 Gideons already, and then you have a lot of busy at the 4.
I actually think so. I think this card could be a lot more controlling than the types of decks that Gideon wants.
Fair.
Like
this could be like a Jeskai like Super Friends or Mardu Super Friends kind of deck. That's fair.
Like, yeah, like, what about pairing this with, like, Obnixilis or, like, even new Sorin, or both? And just having, like, like a Mardu, just, like Planeswalkers decks where you're just, like, annoying permanent after annoying permanent. And they all kill creatures on the turn they come down.
Right.
So you're just, like, on turns 2 and 3, you're, like, removal spell, and then you're, like, Planeswalker, that's a removal spell. And then you're just left with 3 Planeswalkers and no board.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that this card is... I think the plus is very real. Like, you can loot and, like, often, like...
Yeah, this
in
is
our standard
ability,
mid-range decks, we're playing, like, 26, maybe 27
lands.
Yeah,
high numbers of lands.
Like, it helps you just find our cards. Like, it also helps you find the little utility lands over, like, the crappy lands.
Yeah, and also the way removal is, like... There's a lot of situational removal you're going to be playing. So, let's say in this theoretical Mardu Planeswalkers deck, we're playing, like, some of that, like, Vindicate card. We're playing some Stasis Snare, some Silk Wrap. And it's like, oh, Silk Wrap's not good here. It's a good way to kind of balance your your need for a varied removal suite because of the nature of Standard, where the creatures have different types of protection abilities that, or the efficient removal spells that you need to answer early creatures, like Silk Wrap, for example, don't, like, deal with the entire swath of what you're going to be facing. So the cards have different values at different points in the game. Nahiri can help balance that out.
Yeah, she, like,
and that's
kind of
really,
like,
important in that style of deck.
And what's nice, too, is, like, in an answer style deck like that, she kind of, like, ties the room together with the plus, but then also her minus is also a removal spell.
Yeah.
And also, if
well,
you
that's
Chambe,
right. You don't want to lose, you don't want to lose track of the fact that, like,
your deck's all removal spells.
This card very often, well, yeah, if your deck's all removal spells, but this card will very often just kill a creature the turn comes down.
Yeah.
And be super impactful just in that way, right?
And what's nice, too, is it's Exile.
Yes.
So it's just like, Hannerback Water, don't care. Death and Misdraftor, don't care. Mattery Shaper, don't care.
Yeah.
All these things, like, whatever size creature, I'm getting it. Like, maybe I'm starting to become sold on Nahiri.
Okay, you're liking it more.
Yeah, I'm liking the look of this card.
Yeah, I mean, that's
it's
going to
be hard to find
I don't
a
feel
home.
Like it's the same. Yeah, I mean, if that's a deck, right? That's,
yeah.
Of course, the caveat, I guess. But I'm saying that, like, I don't know how much this card really competes with Gideon. Because you wouldn't want to play Gideon in, like, an all-removal spell deck. Because you're not really taking advantage of its emblem.
Right.
But this card is, slots right into a deck with a low number of threats. Or a high number of planeswalkers and a low number of creature threats, I guess,
mm-hmm.
would be a better way of putting it.
All right, so to finish off our planeswalker... Trifecta,
yo,
I guess.
We Arlen got Cord.
Arlen Cord. So this is our the werewolf planeswalker.
Arlen Cord is fire.
Yeah, so she is...
This card's so good.
Yeah, so she's 2 red-green for a 3/3 planeswalker,
mm-hmm.
type Arlen. Plus 1 until end of turn, up to 1 target creature, gets +2/+2, and gains vigilance and haste. Then you can zero her and put a 2/2 green wolf creature token on the battlefield, transform Arlen Cord. Then she transforms into Arlen, embraced by the moonlight. Not the best name they've ever had, but all right.
Embraced just the moon.
By the moon. Oh, I'm sorry. Arlen embraced by the moon. Sorry, wizard, to ruin your poetry. But
the moon gave her a hug.
Yeah, embraced. Very lovingly. All right, her plus one, though, is creatures you control get +1/+1 and gain trample until end of turn. Her minus one is she bolts something, and then she transforms back into Arlen Cord. And her minus 6 is you get an emblem with creatures you control have haste and tap. This creature deals damage equal to its power to target creature or player.
Yeah.
So it's like fight, but they don't fight back.
Yeah.
So this one is...
And it can hit players, which is...
Well, that's pretty... Yeah, it hits players too. That's pretty good. It's like the tail slash ability or whatever you want to call it. This card is pretty sick because, like, the play pattern is like, make a 2/2, flip into the werewolf, bolt your dude, flip back into the person, I guess.
Yeah.
Make a 2/2, flip back into the werewolf, like...
Well, yeah,
yeah. Your thing, like,
and you have to, and like, certainly the pluses on both sides are the weakest abilities,
right? But they're both
but
kind
they're
of aggro-y.
Not, yeah, but not only they're the weakest abilities on the card, but they're not weak abilities in the abstract, right?
No.
Giving your creature +2/+2 vigilance and haste is actually like a very reasonable. So like,
and what's also nice is that the vigilance is like it protects the Arlen too.
Yeah. There's a lot. There's so much going on. This card has so much text, so many numbers on it. Right, you have to think like, okay, I just get a huge amount of value just from all the options I have there, and like that type of thing where, like, you know, this one gives +2/+2 vigilance haste, right? Like that's good in a particular type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's like, oh, all my guys get +1/+1 and trample. That's good in a, like a different type of particular situation.
Yeah, the plus one is good if you've like some creature, like one or two creatures.
Yeah,
the plus on the flip side is. Good if you have a bunch of creatures.
Yeah. And so the other thing is, like, you know, we talked about, you mentioned the play pattern of, like, all right, zero, flip, bolt, flip, zero, flip, bolt, flip, zero. And then at that point, you have Arlen on one that you can either bolt,
mm-hmm.
bolt with and let it die,
or plus.
Start plusing, right?
Yeah, I mean,
but I don't even know, like, that. Like that's even going to happen that often.
Yeah, you might
right?
plus one, like... This card has so many options, and what's the interesting part is, like, the play pattern is really cool because it's like, all right, my opponent is unflipped Arlen. I play a creature. Like you have to be like, are they doing a zero to Arlen and then flip into the werewolf? Are they doing a plus one? Like, are they play a creature and plus one? Like,
yeah.
There's so many options. And then it's like, well, I'm playing Arlen. I have one. My opponent locked up mana. Okay, I'm going to zero. Like, it's just so, it makes the game super complicated, which I like a lot. But this card has so many options. Like you said, it's like,
yeah.
It's a really interesting card. And they're all different. They're all in different situations. My fear with this card, my worst case scenario, right, is that, like, obviously, you could not find a home, right? There might just not be a good red-green deck.
Yeah, maybe, I mean, that's always the
maybe
worst
it's like maybe the deck is like more of a world-breaker deck and not like a red-green mid-range aggro-y deck. My fear, though, is the numbers might be too small. So it's like, put a 2/2 into play. Deal 3 damage. Well, the format's all 4/4s, like, we kind of have a problem. Like, I think that's a reasonable, like, way to look at it. But I don't know if this standard will be like that. I haven't, like... it hasn't tough, developed enough to like figure out what the numbers of the format are that matter, but I think that Arlen Court will be a pretty big player.
Now, like, going into this discussion, I was like very high on this card, and after thinking about, like, it doesn't, the thing that I don't like about it, I think, is that it doesn't match up well against Avacyn.
Yeah, because it's really hard to, you can like plus, and then she still dies to Avacyn.
Yeah, and also, like, yeah, you can plus, you still dice to Avacyn. You can bolt, the bolt doesn't kill Avacyn.
Right.
And also, like, the 2/2s are not.
They're like 2/2 ground creatures.
Yeah, 2/2 ground creatures don't protect. I don't know. I think it's gonna come down to, like, there's a world in which this card's really good, and there's a world in which Avacyn is the best card in standard, and I don't think they're the same world.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, like,
I think we're going to live in the world of which, like, wow, Avacyn is the best card in standard.
Yeah, as opposed to, you think that's more likely than this card being. I mean, that said, like, it's super powerful. Like, it's just still super powerful.
It's very good.
And it's also, like, the type of card. This card, like, really dominates any kind of small ball matchup, right?
Yeah, for sure. If it's, like, a company matchup, whatever, like,
yes.
Like a very small ball, like 2/2s versus 2/2s, or like even just a control deck.
Even 3/3s versus 3/3s, like the bolt. So, like, if it's a lot of Deathmist Raptors staring each other down, then this card's unbelievable.
It's very good.
Because no one can attack, and all you do is make 2/2s and flip it over and over.
Right.
And like, so that's the type of matchup where it really.
And what's
sick,
too, is maybe we want to play this card with Deathmist, because it's like.
Well, yeah, no, right, because Deathmist engineers those types of situations.
Yeah,
yeah,
and the plus one, too, is like, your creatures get trampled, too. So, like, if you're trying to close the door, Death Touch Trample is a sicker combo.
Yeah.
Like, Maybe this deck wants to be like an Avacyn, like Dem Protector-y kind of deck.
Yeah, Dem Protector also works well with +2/+2 visual.
Yeah, because of 5/4, it's unblockable, and then it can also stay block, like trade if you need to or whatever. Like, that's pretty solid. I mean, maybe this card just slots very naturally in, like, a Megamorph style deck.
Okay,
maybe that's like the home we've been looking for.
Yeah, I mean, those decks have traditionally not included red.
Yeah, because the red doesn't bring enough removal to the table. But maybe, like, the mana bases are good enough. We can play Naya.
Yeah,
or, like,
and one of the cards
Naya
that is not spoiled that we may end up getting is a kind of bread and butter type red removal spell that I think we're
like
a
lightning
bit,
strike or something.
Yeah,
like those
something
ones.
That we're, I feel like we're a little lacking in
yeah,
standard
right
now.
We're a little due for it. Yeah, that's fair.
So that might happen. I mean, we'll see. I think that's going to be a big deal as to whether or not you. I mean, there is Roast still.
Yeah, but my fear though is
again,
it doesn't
Roast
kill out.
Just doesn't kill out. Yeah, it's
I mean,
tough.
Like. And the other thing is, like,
I was, like, really high on Dragonlord Ojutai in the new format, and then I'm thinking, like, maybe, like, it just isn't good against that.
Yeah, because you're, like, attacking my Ojutai. You're, like, attacking my, I guess, like, you have open mana. I guess I'll attack him with my Ojutai and see if they have anything. And there's, like, Avacyn block. You're just like, oh, my God. Like,
yeah, and it also doesn't.
I guess if you're playing in, like, a Dragon's deck, you can protect it. But, like, you need to have a lot of resources backing up your Ojutai.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff pulling you. I'm wondering if this stuff pulling you towards dragons, like dragons as like an archetype.
Mm-hmm.
If too many of them have rotated,
I mean, it's possible. Like the mana might be too tough. Like,
yeah.
We'll see in the coming weeks. I'm super excited for this new standard.
I think Dragonlord Atarka will still be playable.
Yeah, that card seems great. I think the whole sizes of standard have like shrunk. That's like, so it's hard to just.
It makes the target better.
She's gonna eat a lot. She's hungry. Mama's home and she's hungry. But all right, let's.
There's some mythics we missed. I think some of them are going to... Yeah, you want to talk about Relentless Dead?
Yeah, I'm a big Relentless Dead fan.
Big Deadhead.
Yeah. Grateful Dead, not as much. Relentless Dead, love it. All right. So, if you guys haven't seen Relentless Dead, he's actually been spoiled for a while. There's Black Black 2-2, Menace. When Relentless
Highly underrated ability. Underrated post.
Yes. When Relentless Dead dies, you may pay black if you do return it to the owner's hand. And then when it dies, you get another trigger that says... You may pay X. If you do, return another target zombie creature card with converted mana cost X or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. It's X, so not X or less. But
okay.
So you can't, like, fake them out. Be like, I'm going to pay 3.
It targets anyway, so you can't...
Okay, it does target, fair. So you can't, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I like this card. So it's a 2-2 with Menace that you can rebuy a lot. Often this card can't block. Like, this style card can't block. Yeah. So it's interesting, it can block. 2-2 is a little small, but it's only black-black, pretty small investment.
Mm-hmm.
What I like about this card is, like, you can kind of, like, loop these. If you have, like, multiple, you're, like, pay a black in 2 and rebuy the Relentless Dead.
You could just have... You could have one in the graveyard, one in the in play, and you can just keep tags.
Yeah, you can kind of loop them. You can also loop, like, Relentless Dead, or, you can loop, or Fleshbag Marauder with it. You can loop, like, Nintutro Hust, I guess, if you want to. This card is... an interesting kind of, like, engine-style card. My fear is that it takes a lot of mana. It's, like, kind of a little small ball-y to get going. Like, I think this card
is
good. My
fear is not that it takes... I mean, partially it's a fear of, I think, keeping up X a lot of the time is not realistic.
I mean, the thing, though, is if you just leave up black and they're like, I'll kill your thing this turn, you're like, pay a block, get it back.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem, though, is that, like, the kill your thing is just a lot of times going to be exile your thing.
Yeah, that's what's weird about this new world is that exile is actually much more common than destroy. All the white removal exiles.
Mm-hmm.
All, like, the black white removal exiles.
Including, like, one of the key cards in this new set, which I think is the one black white instant exile target, non-land permanent, you lose 3 life.
Yeah,
I think
English
that card's,
Unmaking.
Yeah, I think that card's gonna be... It's perhaps not... I don't want to say it's, like, a 4 of in a lot of decks, because I don't think it's the type of card that you necessarily want to play 4 of. However, I believe it will be a big part of the removal suite of several decks. And I think having black-white in your deck is going to be attractive.
Yeah, for sure.
Because of that card.
I mean,
because
another...
it's just such a clean answer to everything.
Yeah, it just kills everything. It's like literally Vindicate.
Yeah.
And that's just so insane in Standard. Also,
it's an instant.
Yeah, instant speed, it just does, like, all the things you'd ever want.
Yeah.
It's like Ruinous Path is just so jealous looking at this card. Right? And I think this card's very good. I mean, what's also cool is, like, in your black-white deck, you can just make it where every non-creature deck in your deck exiles for Wasteland Strangler.
Yeah.
Silkwrap, Transgress the Mind, Stasis Snare, Anguished Unmaking. Like, all these cards exile, and you're just like, all right, Wasteland Strangler, kill your thing.
Yeah, get that value.
And if we think the format's going to be, like, small numbers like we think it will... Wasteland Stranger is insane. It's just like Flametongue Kabu's everything.
I think it's going to be a lot of small numbers, and then every deck is just going to have like
Avacyn.
Going to have like Avacyn or Chandra.
Or the Reality Smasher.
Yeah, or Reality
Smasher. I think those are the top ends.
Right,
of the format.
Yeah. So those are like, those are the attractive things that are beyond 4 mana.
For sure. I mean, I do think, actually, we're looking at Olivia Mobilized for War. I think there will be a Vampires deck. Let's talk about Olivia. And
yeah, we should talk about Olivia. It's interesting because I think that's, like, level zero. What's on a lot of people's minds right now is, like, but, like, does the Olivia Mobilized for War deck really want to play against 4 Silkwrap, 4 Wasteland Strangler, 3 Anguished Unmaking? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That deck seems, like, tailor-made to just, like, run.
I mean, especially if we're playing, like, Night of the White Orchid or whatever. It's like... Or Hanerback Walker. The other decks have such a hard time, especially if they're black-red. But I think Olivia's a very good card. So Olivia is 1 black-red for a 3-3. Legendary creature, Vampire Knight. She is flying. And whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may discard a card. If you do, put a +1/+1 counter on your creature. It gains haste until end of turn. It becomes a vampire in addition to its other types. So this card is pretty sick because you're like, play it. It's a 3-mana 3-3. Which is, like, pretty good on rate for and flying, too.
Yeah, 3-mana, 3-3 flying.
For, like, a relevant creature type. And you're just, like, next turn, you're, like, play my Drana, discard my thing, like...
Discard my Fiery Temper.
Yeah, like, this card can get pretty combo-y, very quickly. Also, it's just, like, if you have, like, the Falcon Wrath Gorger, the dude that gives all your vampire cards, madness. It's just like, the Discharge's not even a downfall. Yeah, it's just like, I can just play my thing anyway and just like keep going. Like, this card is pretty sick. It definitely dies to removal. Like, it's just, it's a 3-3.
Yeah, I think that's going to be that you're not going to get that immediate card advantage, immediate value on a creature at 3 anymore. At least you know, in this standard format. I mean, if you think about, like, the last creature that could really, that they printed, that could really, like, get you ahead on cards and was, like, also constructed worthy at 3 mana, was, like, Courser of Kruphix.
Yeah. And Courser was, you actually often play, like, turn 4. And
then because in order to get cards out of it on the turn you play it, you couldn't do it on turn 3, you'd have to do it on turn 3 off of, like, Elvish Mystic.
Exactly.
But that would be, like, a good, like, that's kind of like the baseline to understand, like, what kinds of effects am I going to get at 3 mana? What kinds of effects am I going to get at 4 mana? I mean, look at the 4 mana cards we're talking about in this format, like, multiple Planeswalkers that make a 2-2, and they, like, you have Gideon and Arlan Cord. You have Planeswalkers that kill, like a Nahiri is going to kill a creature at 4, which is, like, very cheap for a Planeswalker, right? And to live, too.
You have P and Karen Alar,
like,
you have Thunderbreak Regent, which, like, the 3 damage is, like, if you build your deck correctly, that is worth a card.
Yeah.
Like, at 4, like, the we've talked about this a little bit, too. Right. It's like,
the difference between 3, 4, and 5 is just a step up in power level between those three. From 3 to 4 and from 4 to 5 is enormous, like, super big.
And what's interesting is, like, they kind of made these archetypes.
It doesn't bode well for 3 drops, basically.
Yeah, kind of. But the thing is, like, it kind of makes, like, these archetypes of, like, this is what a constructed playable 3 drop looks like. And in my head, I think, like, an offensive Mana Strider, like, Deathness Strider is a little bit different because it's, like, it's more of an engine-y style card. Uh-huh. It's not like I'm a sicko threat.
It's not a pure rate card.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but I think Olivia is kind of a pure rate card almost. It could be kind of an engine card, too, which is nice.
Yeah.
But it's pretty close to me on the Mantis Rider.
The thing is that
if you untap with this card.
Deck, well, yeah. But the problem with Olivia is that my fear with this card and with this deck in general is that Olivia doesn't want to be in. Olivia actually wants to be the top end of the deck she's in.
Right.
Because if you're playing the guy that gives all your vampires madness, you don't want to. You don't want to play expensive creatures in your deck at all. You want to play creatures that, when you play them, you have Olivia in play and are going to play another creature off of madness.
Right. You want to play 2 spells after you took.
Yeah.
You want to.
You
like,
want to
play
be,
the
you
first
be
creature.
Like, 1-drop, 2-drop, Olivia, and then 2-2 drops.
Right,
that's
exactly
the play pattern you want with this card. And
I guess Drana also qualifies.
Or
Drana like,
plus 1-drop. So
right.
Like, or some combination of 1s, 2s, and 3s that
right.
equal 4 mana.
Mm-hmm.
Or 3 mana if you're stuck on 3 mana. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because this type of deck would not play a lot of lands. Like,
yeah,
that's
probably
one
like
of
22
the
tops. Like,
yeah.
That kind of range.
And so, like, that's what you got to be thinking about. The problem is that you're stopping your curve right before the cards get good
all
in
the
format.
Cards,
yeah. And it, just what you get for just one more mana makes it hard to justify playing only 3.
I mean, maybe the 4-drop is like the 4/9 angel thing, right? Gold Knight,
well,
Castigator.
Well, maybe, but then it's like why are we playing
right.
If you're going to 4, why aren't we going to 5?
Right, exactly.
Like, what's
and,
even if
right.
you're going to play that game?
Let's
then,
just go, keep going.
Right.
And like
exactly.
The thing is, like, I've seen like some vampire lists on like the kind of like rough sketch articles that a lot of people put up.
Uh-huh.
They're like they all have like Kalidus and like oh, they just look so weird to me. They look too mid rangey. It's like let's just be combo-y. Like I think you want to be like aggro combo-y. Like, sometimes if you don't kill my stuff, I just have a really busted draw. Like, that's really what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, like, what it takes. Like, I mean, think about, like, the adder decks have been playable lately. Like, a Tarkaret can have some real busted starts. Like,
yeah,
you need to do that.
You need, the aggro decks now are, like, you have to end the game so fast because
the creatures are
reason,
so good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's going to be, I think you're going to be surprised how low 20 is when your opponents don't have Siege Rhinos. Like, I do think, like, in this card's defense, I think the absence of Siege Rider from the format is going to... I think it's... People are not going to be used to how quickly they're going to die.
Yeah, that's fair. Mid-rangey decks. Well, like, yeah, because the mid-range decks often, like... It used to be years ago. So it was that, like... Yeah, it used to be, like, years ago, like, red decks just beat the mid-range decks. But, like... Not when they were, like, Siege Rhino decks. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, it hasn't been that way for 2 years. Right. And it might go back to being that way.
Right, exactly. Though. And that'll be interesting. But I think that if the Vampire deck wants to have a chance, it has to be kind of a low-to-the-ground deck. And there's cards that are good for it. Like, I like the 2-mana 3-1 that if either player's hell-bent, you draw a card.
Well, let's talk about that card. I actually think that card's super interesting.
Asylum Visitor, I think is the name of it.
Yeah. That sounds correct to me.
There's also Heir of the Falcon Wrath, the 2-mana 2-1 that flips into a 3-2 if you discard a card. 3-2 flyer, rather. That card seems very strong to me. Definitely rated for constructed play. Yeah, Asylum Visitor. 1 black, 3-1. Beginning of each player's upkeep, if that player has no cards in hand, you draw a card and lose 1 life. And then it has Madness for 1 and a black.
Yeah, so... Okay, so obviously you're playing a deck with a lot of 1-drops, a lot of 2-drops. And not a lot of lands, and you're playing cards like Olivia, and cards that literally just like, discard a card, flip this, mm-hmm. just to get in an extra 1 damage on turn 3 with your 2-1. You're going to empty your hand quickly, and if your opponent is trying to keep up, they're going to empty their hand quickly too. They're going to have to deploy their spells as soon as they can. They're not going to have time to wait to get maximum value mm-hmm. or whatnot. So for both those reasons, I think this card is actually really good. So if it goes unopposed, it's just a 3-power creature for 2, which is like exactly the type of things that
which is like definitely the rate that you watch.
Yeah, has Madness already, and just like if you can dump your hand, it will just start drawing you extra cards for free, and this is that's gonna kill them because you're definitely playing like Fiery Tempers in this deck.
Yeah, like Fiery Tempers, it's supposed to Firecrafts. Yeah. Who knows, like, what other bird spells? We have them.
Yeah.
And like, this card is very much so like the constructed glue card to me. It's like great, like 1 and a black for Madness, which is fantastic. It's like, mm-hmm. like that's what you want when you have all these dudes to discard because you fill your deck with all these ways to discard Olivia, maybe even like you obviously have the 2-mana 2-1 mm-hmm. that flips if you discard a card, or you have like, Ravenous Bloodsucker, like the red aqua amoeba, the one that you discard card if it plus
two. Let's say you don't even draw Olivia. Like, it's like, what if you, your deck is going to have a lot of 1-drops in it. Like, I think you probably still end up playing Zergo Bellstriker in this mm-hmm. deck. So, if you look at the way Olivia works, it's like you can play Zergo and then discard
this guy or something.
This, yeah, and it's like.
And then once you Madness, then discard another card. It's like, what I like, though, is, like, what I was saying is, like, this card is good because it's good at both halves, right? Mm-hmm. It's, like, a good card to be discarded, and then it's a really good card to have in play after you've discarded stuff.
Which
is, like, nice because it's, like, it just, like, kind of smooths the edges.
And it's also just, like, a fine card to curve.
Yeah, you're just, like, I don't have another 2-drop, 2-mana 3-1. That's, like, a totally serviceable card. That's a very good card in aggro deck. Like, this card is very much so, like... It's like the glue die on the corner.
Yeah, you'll have eight. This is Andre. 1-drop red creatures if you want.
Yeah, for sure. This is Andre Iguodala. That's what I'm saying. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
I like it. Good apt metaphor.
Yeah, he can't shoot free throws or threes, but he's great. Great otherwise. All right, Max. Sell me on Sin Prodder. I'm not sold.
All right. Tuna red creature devil. Menace. Highly underrated post. At the beginning of your upkeep, reveal the top card of your library. Any opponent may have you put that card into your graveyard. If a player does, Sin Prodder deals damage to that player equal to that card's converted mana cost. Otherwise, put that card into your hand. Okay, so generally, this is some form of the Punisher mechanic, right? The thing is that I think, in general, like, the Punisher cards tend to play worse than they read.
Yeah, like, Remorseless Punishment in the last set.
However, like, wow. How much of the power of this card lies in that line of text as opposed to... Like, a big part of this creature's impact on the game is going to be as a creature. It's a 3-mana, 3-2 menace.
Yeah, that's like... That's a very serviceable limited card. You know what I mean? It's not good enough.
It's so So unlike the other Punisher cards, which generally, if the life is meaningless to your opponent, they essentially do nothing. This card will never do nothing. It's always going to be a creature.
Right.
And it's going to be a creature that, like, the Punisher mechanics has the thing where, like, well, if you have a bunch of them, they become better. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, your third Browbeat is definitely going to draw you three cards. Mm-hmm. Like,
and or your, like, third Vesting Devil is definitely going to be a 4-3.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, exactly. So, like, they can't... So, on the one hand, it's a creature so that they have to deal with it. But even if it's not... But unlike, like, a normal 3-2 creature that might get bricked off really quickly by big blockers, A, it has Menace, so they have to keep back multiple creatures to defend against it. And... B, if they just let it, even if they do keep back multiple creatures dependent, they can't just let it sit in play because it is going to either draw you cards or deal damage to them.
Right, for sure. I mean, what's weird
it,
about...
It, like, gets its pound of flesh no matter what.
Yeah, I think this card is fine. My fear with this card is, like, so let's just break it down, right? Any land, they just take zero and you can't,
sure,
you don't draw
it. Sure, of course.
It. Any one mana spell, they probably don't need to draw it. Like, my fear is that this card is, like, I often look at cards that worked well within a certain play pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And so this card reads to me like kind of like Dark Confidant, like card advantage card, kind of smooths out your draw kind of thing. And it's just like,
well, I don't really think that this card is that. I don't think it smooths out your draw at all. It actually makes it less smooth, right?
Well, because you don't draw the lands, right?
Well, it doesn't actually, it only barely affects your ability. So every time you hit a land, it reduces your chance of drawing a land, but only because there's one less land in your deck.
Right. But what I'm saying is...
It doesn't have, like... It's not like Countryside Crusher where you never draw lands again.
Yeah. No, what, I understand that. What I'm saying, though, is, like... I'm not a huge fan. Like, if it's a card-grindy matchup, which is, like, where you want this, like, 3-2 is going to be good, it's, like, you won't draw, like, anything that costs less than, like, 2 or 3. Because you, like, aren't dealing them enough damage or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I just am not sold on this card. Because is it a card-sensitive card? But then it's probably either going to die or it's just going to, like, only draw a card, like, 30% of the time or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's, like, in an aggro matchup, it's, like, a 3-2 body. And, like, you really don't care about the extra cards because you're probably going to die with cards in hand anyway. Like, the only time this card ever seems good to me is in, like, a similar-sized matchup. And then the 3-2 body seems a little small, with, like, all these, like, Gideon tokens running around. I get his Menace, but, like, still dies to 2/2s. Like, I'm just not a huge fan of this card. I think it's an interesting card. It's a cool design, the way that they, like, kind of set up the Bob Punisher mechanic kind of idea.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just not sold.
Okay, I mean, I think this, I want to flip Reality Smasher, I want to flip...
Right, that's the
same Goblin thing. Dark Dwellers.
Yeah, right, you, like, flip a Chandra. What are they going to do, take 6?
Yeah.
Like, I guess they'll have to, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, they'll have to take 6 for Chandra. For Reality Smasher, what do they just take 5? I mean, I guess they're going to take 5 again. The thing is that, like...
Maybe this is doing, like, the Eldrazi Red style deck we've seen.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's... Like, that could pump out a lot of damage fast. This card, when you're running well with it, like, is going to put your opponent in really tough spots, right? Like, if you hit, like... Even if you hit just, like, 2 big things in a row, that's going to seriously, threaten your opponent.
Yeah, I mean, if you're, like, flip a Reality Smasher, like, take 5, and you're, like, flip a Chandra, they're like, oh my god, I can't.
Yeah, where they just take 11 from your 3-drop. Like, I don't even know. Like, I mean, and yes, maybe it just gets shocked, or just gets a Wild Slash, or Wild Slash isn't even illegal anymore.
Fire Impulse.
Fire Impulse.
Like, but, like, 3-mana creature, that's fine. Like,
yeah,
we've been okay with that for a while.
Yeah, and so. That's what you're gonna get on a 3-mana creature, right? Is a creature that they can just answer immediately with a removal spell. That's gonna be a feature of your 3-mana creature in Standard.
This is a card I'm going to, like, play with and see if I, like, see how it feels kind of thing.
All right. Yeah, give it a shot.
Maybe,
can we talk
maybe,
about the land?
Yeah, it was for sure. So when I saw this card spoiled, I tested Max, and I was like, I don't know if this card is insane, but this card is so cool. I'm definitely going to play it because it's just, like, the sweetest, like, card I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about Westvale Abbey. So Westvale Abbey is land that enters the battlefield untapped. Taps to add a waste to your mana pool. You can pay 5 and tap it, Pay one life, put a 1/1 white and black human cleric token onto the battlefield. And then it has another ability. Pay 5, tap, sacrifice 5 creatures, transform Westvale Abbey, then untap it. Max, what does Westvale Abbey transform into?
Ormendal, Profane Prince. Legendary creature, demon, flying, lifelink, indestructible, haste, 9 power, 7 toughness.
Wow. That's a lot of stuff.
Those are big numbers and a lot of text.
Yeah, flying.
Flying, lifelink, indestructible, haste is very absurd.
Flying, lifelink is, like, pretty absurd. Haste, also, like, absurd. And then indestructible. It just doesn't die to, like, ruin his path or whatever. Like, that's a 9/7.
I imagine there's a lot of decks in Standard that just can't beat this card flipped, right? Just, like, I can see situations where you might be playing, like, a token-style deck or something, and you're just, like, end step, secure the waste, untap on turn 6, Westvale Abbey activate.
Yeah.
On turn 5, even. Westvale Abbey. Oh, no, it has to be turn 6. Or yeah. 5 tap. Westvale Abbey activate 9U.
And what's so
9U flying, lifelink, indestructible, right? Like,
yeah, it's just so, like, it's such a huge game changer in that style matchup. But also, just think about, like, the front end, too. Like, Westvale Abbey adds a Wastes, right?
Uh-huh.
People are playing Wastes. Untapped. Right, all Sunder Drops untapped, right? So it's, like, a utility land. Very clearly, like, a free utility land. And then...
Is this deck just in, like, mono blue Eldrazi?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably just, like, in that deck with, like, World of Rogue and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, but then, also, you can just play Foundry of the Town of Souls, and you... This is, like, your fifth copy that's also insane sometimes. But, like...
I don't even think it's, like, your fifth copy. I think it's, like... I think Foundry of the Consoles is your fifth Westvale Abbey.
I mean, possibly. This is not legendary.
The flip side is legendary.
Yeah, you can't have two Ormendals.
Yeah.
That's also sound like something my grandfather takes every day. Ormendal. I mean, but...
How many... You only need one Ormendal alive for 2 turns to win the game.
Exactly.
So, that I don't think that's a real downside.
But, I mean, like, also just, like... Let's say you're in a board stall, you don't have a lot to do. You just 5 tap, pay a life, put a 1/1 chump blocker into play. That's pretty strong. And it adds up to its own, like, ultimate.
And you could also, like, you could also threaten the flipping. So if you're playing a deck that does have the ability to exile stuff, you can force them to commit removal spells before sacrificing your creatures in response. And then if they don't do anything, you can just make a dude.
Well, also, like, let's say you're playing against a Wrath deck, and, like, you just have Westvale Abbey in 5 lands, and they're like, you think they have a Wrath, but they have, like, only, like, 3 creatures, and they don't want to deploy it.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's say you have, like, 5 1/1s or whatever. You're just like, all right, leave up this activation. And they're like, all right, Wrath, like End Hostilities or Planar Albert, whatever cards in the format. You're like, sack my 5 dudes, make a 9/7 indestructible, it doesn't die.
Yeah.
9U. It's like, or they don't go for the Wrath.
You just can't cast the Wrath because you can just flip.
Right, then you just make a 1/1 every turn. Yeah.
And you just get further and further
ahead. That just seems so great. And, like, this card is, like, 5 mana, tap, like, I'm like, Maze of Ith against a ground creature without trample.
Yeah, like, this card is sick. It just can't attack into you. Yeah. It doesn't have to be, like, a ground creature. It has flying. You can block flyers.
No, I'm saying the 1/1.
Oh!
You just made a token every turn.
Yeah, and also, but also, like, if you have the ability to flip it, they just can't attack you ever.
Yeah, they can never attack you. You just, like, ship your team. They're like, yeah, well, I can't race.
And it's the lands. The opportunity cost is super low.
Yeah, like, this card is non-legendary colorless land.
Yeah.
This card casts Thought Knot Seer.
Does not come into play tapped.
Yeah, you can splash a Thought Knot Seer off this thing.
Yeah, this card might just be just like, we're just going to, this could be like Mutavault. The way Mutavault was during while it was in Standard.
It could be. I mean, honestly, I don't know if there's going to be better utility lands. And we'll see how, like, the mana plays out.
Yeah, I mean, the mana is clearly significantly worse compared to where we were, but some number of decks definitely want colorless mana, and this produces it.
Yeah, this card is just...
This card is good besides that.
Yeah, this card is so powerful, so cool. I'm definitely playing with this card, like, at least once while it's in Standard, for sure. I definitely want to make one Ormendal before this card rotates. But I'm a huge fan of this card. I really like... Drown Yard Temple is a pretty neat card. Tapped at a waste. 3 mana, return it from
pretty
graveyard
nice
to the battlefield tapped.
The Gitmog monster.
Yeah, well, it's done for the old Gitmog monster. But also what's cool about this card is, like, imagine you're just, like, Magmatic Insight this away, and, like, on turn 3, you just, like, bring it back. That's, like, a ramp spell.
Yeah, like think about that weirdo ramp spell.
Yeah, it is. It takes like 3 mana, but it like gives you +1, and like now you can turn it's like four.
Drew you a card, sort of.
Yeah, now you can like turn four a Reality Smasher. Like that's pretty interesting, right? Like, I think this card's pretty sick. It could be. I can see this card being like good in Eternal like formats. Like this kind of seems like internally kind of. Yeah, it's definitely
It's definitely a very grindy text box. But, so that might point to. I mean, there's a couple cards that point to that grindy land style.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely possible in the format. Some other cards. Madison, 50 words or less. Tell me what you feel about the new dual land cycle. Port Town, Choate Estuary, Forbidding Ruins, Game Trail, and Fortified Village.
I only have 50 words?
Yeah. 47.
I think they're okay.
All right, you have like 41 left.
No, okay, so... All right. These are really difficult cards to evaluate.
Yeah, they're weird, right? I had the same feeling. So if anyone hasn't seen them, they're ally-colored land, dual land cycle. And as they come into play, you reveal an island, like island or swamp card, or whatever the colors are, from your hand. And if you don't, they enter the battlefield tapped. So what's cool about these, you can reveal like a Canopy Vista that counts as your...
At first I thought they were really similar to like the reveal a merfolk or reveal like a tree folk or reveal an elf.
Right, Gildleaf like Palace, like Wanderwine Hub.
Yeah. But they're really not. They want to be played as like the first land in your opening hand.
Yes.
So that's like puts you in a strange. Well, that's not. Let's take a step back here. So they want to be played in a deck with a lot of the basics, the relevant basics, right?
Yeah, you want to have a lot of islands or plains cards,
or a lot of, or you're like maybe your three color deck. You're resigning yourself to some basically having comes to play tap lands like pretty often,
mm-hmm.
and in which case you could play them in a more complicated mana base with the battle lands.
Yeah, what's interesting is like the because allied... you can
reveal the battle lands to these,
right.
But then your battle lands are. You're going to have fewer basics. Your Battlelands might enter the battlefield tab pretty often.
And I think there'll be, like, a point in which you find, like, the balance and like of all the parts where you have basic lands, shadow lands, and Battlelands.
And potentially pain lands.
Yeah, whatever. But, like, what's interesting is, like, so let's say you're Jund, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you have a black-red and a red-green dual of each kind. You're kind of incentivized to play a lot of mountains, right? Because, like, you have a lot of red sources. You want to be, like, a red-based deck. Like, your Esper deck wants to be based blue. Like, I think that's kind of interesting how they weighted the ally colors. Also, okay. I think this is a pretty elegant way to make dual lands that still incentivized, like, a format at the best. Like, remember in the last format where, like, shit, I can play 5 colors and it's free.
Yeah.
Now this one you're like, man, I hope I can play 3 and cast my spells. Right, so, like, right. They wanted that change.
From it just goes to show how impactful the... like the dual
fetch battle mana base.
Lands, the fetch battle land mana bases were, and what kind of unparalleled access that gives you. Whereas now, like, this is a more typical kind of where you have 2 sets of allied colored duels that are okay, and a set of enemy colored duels that are okay, being the pain lands,
mm-hmm.
and then like
you also have the enemy colored man lands too.
Enemy colored man lands.
Those are pretty good.
Yeah, and those are definitely going to be a player. But 3 of those 4 have either come into play tapped or sometimes come into play tapped.
Right,
and that's
this might be a format a where cost. Like there's might be a format where like all right, game 1, my mana base was perfect. And I just played all my spells on curve in game 2 and 3. My lands are in the battlefield tapped every turn.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big cost if not everyone's playing on the same speed. Which I kind of don't like as a format where it's like, when we all have temples, we're like, oh, we're all playing a turn behind. This is fine. And then when sometimes people are like Andrew Boswell is like, I'm just going to play Mana Confluence. How about the tap lands? He was basically like ahead of everyone by a turn. But like, now it's like, yeah, my draw kind of sucked. Now you're ahead of me by a turn. Which kind of is like tough when... The threes are so much worse than the fours, and the fours are so much worse than the fives. Yeah. It kind of adds a lot of variance in the format, which I'm not, like, a huge fan of. I wish it was...
I agree. I mean, I hope that there's decks that play mana bases that are not so beholden to the... I mean, we talked about a ramp deck, off the podcast, but we talked about a ramp deck that maybe was playing, like, the Traverse the Uvenwald card.
Right. That's a card I really like.
Yeah, and, like, so there's ways to, like, build your mana. You know, you can have, like, a waste space mana base with, like, explosive vegetation. And
like, ruining their waste.
Yeah, ruining their waste.
That card seems very powerful to me. A couple other cards. We'll kind of wrap this up pretty soon. But a couple other cards I like. I like Prized Amalgam. The one blue-black 3-3. Is that...
Amalgam, yeah.
Amalgam? Okay, that's a weird word. One blue-black 3-3. Basically what it does is, if a creature enters the battlefield in the graveyard, or you cast a card from your graveyard, he enters the battlefield tapped at the next end step. So, like, Narcomoeba, Ikarid, all, like, the Dredger creatures, he comes into play tapped. So he can block. He's, like, a pretty interesting card. A little bit worse than the other versions of this card, but still, I think, pretty good.
Okay. He's a zombie for if you want to go down the blue-black zombies route.
My
feeling about the blue-black zombies route is that zombies are not the pushed, constructed...
Yeah, I think vampires are.
Yeah, I think vampires are.
Maybe next season they'll print more zombies, but we'll see. He's, like, kind of, like, in a modern, like, Eternal format. He's, like, kind of, like, the 9th through 12th, like, graveyard recursion card. So, Blood Ghast, all these cards, he's, like... He's like the little brother.
Nether Spirit.
Yeah, all those guys. He's like the little brother of that.
Nether Shadow.
I'm a big fan of...
Do you like Frenzied Visions?
Yeah, this card's interesting. Fevered Visions.
Fevered Visions.
One blue-red at the beginning of each player's end step. That player draws a card. If the player is your opponent and has four or more cards in hand, Fevered Visions deals 2 damage to him or her. Pretty interesting card.
Yeah.
I like this. I'm trying to think of other ones I liked...
Well, we don't need... I mean, we're definitely probably going to have another episode about...
For sure.
With new spoilers, plus what we didn't talk about today.
Yeah,
there's
I think
quite a few cards that we didn't talk about.
There's definitely some sweet ones I like that we will talk about next time.
We can talk more about Traverse the Uvenwald and
how we
think the ramp decks are going to look.
Yeah,
I think that's a really interesting problem.
Yeah, the ramp decks are kind of like an interesting puzzle because we don't know how the size of the format, like just Kozilek to turn into a card. We're not really sure yet. But Traverse the Uvenwald is a really powerful card that I think has kind of been like under the radar, and I'm super excited to play with.
Yeah.
It's also, Delirium is not an easy thing to set up, and you have to build your deck in a way to make it work. But, alright, Max, is there any other cards you want to talk about this week?
No, I think that's it. I think we'll pick up where we left off here next week.
Alright.
Talk about more new sweet ones.
I'm hyped.
We can talk about Brain in a Jar.
Yeah, and casting Restore Balance.
And Magnifying Glass and Shard of Broken Glass.
Wow, the glass synergy is real.
Of mono glass control.
Perfect. Alright, well thank you guys for listening to this week's episode of the Mindcrank Podcast. We're happy to be back producing podcasts for you guys. Sorry for our little break, little hibernation. But we'll see you guys next week. If you guys found the podcast, good job, keep it up. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You'll let us know. It'll let you know when we have a new episode. You can also check us out on the flipsidegaming.com website. We have our a lot of the deck lists from our in-store events on there. You can definitely check those out. It's a good resource. Check us out on mtgcast.com. You can follow Max and I on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook as well. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you guys next week.
Bye.